the LPGA as well. And Matty T is here, and I'm here tomorrow as well. And then we flip-flop. I'm going to hand the baton off to Pat. So it's going to be an interesting week.
That's when we give it back to the people.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I like to give it to the people.
Well, that's our slogan when you're gone.
I know, but I gave it
to the... Giving it back to the people, Acri is gone.
You've only been away from the mic for like 3 days. Did you forget we're talking to the ends of these things? Come on now.
There All right, is this better?
So much better. Oh,
my
gosh.
I'm a rookie. Like, I'm back.
That's okay. All right, so Rory wins. He got really challenged, which was good, I guess. It made it interesting for the TV viewers, but I don't know that it was ever really in doubt. I guess it got down to two. So how would you assess his overall wire-to-wire performance?
I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, obviously, he did have a six-stroke lead, but he played so well. And, you know, he kept saying that he had two words in his mind. I'm drawing a blank on what they were. I think
I've
it was spot. And what was it? Spot and...
I just kept telling myself two words was process, you know, which is just focus on my process and focus on don't care about the result. Just really get into the process and spot for my putting. Just pick your spot, roll it over your spot. And that was it. Process and spot. They were the only two words that I really had in my head for the 4 days, and they seemed to work pretty well.
What's process?
The process of the golf swing, I imagine.
No, it's the process of his pre-shot routine, his process. He was doing everything the same every single time, no matter what the result is, no matter what the circumstance is. He's just getting into that process every single time. He either starts it with, you know, the club selection or finding the yardage or whatever it is, and he does the exact same thing every single time, no matter if the putt goes in or the drive goes out of bounds or whatever it is. He's just picking those two things, and he did an unbelievable job at it. Obviously, you know, I loved the fact that Sergio gave him a run. I think when Sergio made that eagle on 10 and then he made the bogey on 9, I believe it was, it got relatively close. But after that, he just really held it together and he played a great round of golf. Obviously, you know, Ricky played well as with him. They both, what, shot 66 or 67, I think those, I think
66
for Ricky.
Sergio, 67 for Fowler.
Exactly. And, you know, it was a, you know, it was spot on. He did everything right. There was a couple, maybe one or two mistakes. I think he made two bogeys on the front. But he came back, rebounded well, and, you know, having a six-shot cushion is a hard thing, but also a good thing when you're playing as confidently as he is. You know, I never had him going into this. I really didn't. I didn't. He's never really played well at Link-style golf, even though he's grown up there. He just didn't seem like he had the confidence walking into this week, but he blew the competition away. I mean, 17 under, I think the record ever at an Open is 18 under. So he played exceptionally well. The weather this week wasn't a huge factor. I think on Saturday when they did the double tee, they thought the weather was going to be a bit of a factor. Besides that, it was soft. The winds weren't blowing that bad. It was a great major. And, you know, the last probably eight holes were something to really watch because you kind of was hoping that Sergio was going to get relatively close, or I was at least, but he held on playing fantastic golf.
What would you say about Ricky Fowler? It's his third top five in three major championships this year now. I mean, it's disappointing, I guess, for the Americans that he couldn't, you know, come from behind, but, you know, it's certainly understandable considering the lead that McIlroy had. But he seems like a guy that's poised to maybe take the
Absolutely.
Next step and be the American golfer.
Yeah, he's been playing exceptionally well. He's had a few wins, obviously not the majors. You know, Sergio is, I think he has the longest streak by the highest ranked player without a major. I personally just love Sergio, so I was really rooting for him. I think Fowler has, you know, an amazing, obviously he's had a fantastic career. He's an American, which is good. He's good with the kids. Like, just his mentality, his poise, everything the way he is just good for golf in general. We just need things that are good for golf. And, you know, he's been playing fantastic. His time will come. But, you know, I was just thinking that Garcia really, you know, I wanted him to win that major. I really did. But, you know, now, like Rory said, he has, you know, three quarters of the majors won. And
he should have all of them if he had melted down at the Masters,
well,
right?
Yeah. But you know what? That set off greatness right after that. You know, he melted down at the Masters, and then I think that was the same year that he won the Open by like 11 strokes or whatever, mm-hmm. 8 strokes. But yeah, no, he's played some fantastic golf.
The other guy that's very similar to Sergio is a guy who's been a highly ranked golfer. He's a guy that's been around a long time. He's a European, and he didn't even make the cut this weekend as Lee Westwood. And every time these tournaments come up, it's like, okay, Lee Westwood's going to be in the mix, and he usually is. He didn't even compete this week as far as being towards the top of the leaderboard, but he's another guy we're sort of waiting on. A guy I've kind of taken a rooting for. Me, he seems like an everyman for the most part and a likable fella.
Yeah, I follow him on Twitter, and he's pretty hilarious sometimes. He's gotten himself in trouble on Twitter a few times.
He's like, kind of honey badger.
Yeah,
he doesn't care.
He's kind of... You know,
yeah, he and Poulter will kind of team up on a guy occasionally.
Yeah, and they'll dip into the, I think they dip into the sauce a little bit and then get on the Twitter machine. But, he's good to watch as well. I never even really thought of him this week. What I did find is funny, and I did tweet you about, was obviously we're talking about the Will Ferrell comment. Will Ferrell last week on Will Ferrell Day or whatever was saying, you know, he's got the French to win the Open, and I thought it was funny because Dubuisson played really well all week, and I think he finished, in the top 15.
Yeah.
And he was close there for a while. He went on a tear, I think, on Friday or Saturday, and I tweeted you. I was like, hey.
He tied for ninth, actually.
Yeah, I knew it was close.
Well, and I was thinking
there.
The same thing Saturday. Yeah. And you tweeted it, and I retweeted it, and then the Open retweeted it.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
I didn't even know they had a Twitter account, but it makes
sense.
Oh,
yeah, they do. Yeah, they retweeted a couple of my tweets, which was kind of cool.
I was excited about it. That was the best thing that happened to me all weekend. So the other guy, to me, huge jockstrap. The guy has all the game in the world. It is amazing that he cannot quite put it together, and I really thought he would maybe go low yesterday. I was hoping he would, but Dustin Johnson. I mean, you just keep waiting for him to do... I mean, he's got everything there is. He's the most athletic guy on tour. He hits it a mile. Mm-hmm. He's got great hands. I mean, the guy can do it all. And he's another guy that had a meltdown at the U.S. Open a couple of years ago. I mean, so he's put himself in contention repeatedly. But, I mean, yesterday's round was pretty disappointing.
Well, he was the guy who hit it out of the pot bunker at Whistling Straits and ended up getting a penalty.
Yeah.
So he had gotten extremely close to winning.
But he had the incident at the U.S. Open in Pebble, right?
Mm-hmm. But... Yeah, for me, the Whistling Straits thing stands out just because it
was. But it was a long shot to win, even if he hadn't gotten penalized there, because he was still going to be a stroke short, I think, of winning that tournament. He may have gotten himself into a to playoff. But anyway, regardless.
Yeah.
But he's got all the game. Harry King and I are the one. Every Monday we sit and go, Harry, Dustin Johnson, that no something, something, something. I mean, he doesn't swear, but he's always got something different to say about Dustin Johnson, because it's easy to criticize the guy that has such a wealth of talent. Always puts himself in contention, and he's just a no-finishing son of a gun. It's amazing to me.
It'll happen.
You think?
I mean, yeah.
Who do you think's more likely to get over the hump and take that next step, him or a guy like Ricky, who has taken a huge step forward this year?
I think Ricky is playing so well. I mean, it's not like Ricky's had a meltdown anywhere. He just hasn't gotten there. You know, he's had a few... I think he's, like you said, I think he's been in the top fives, been in the top tens. He's always
played
well.
Three top fives this year in the majors. That's crazy.
Yeah,
well, what if he does it against the PGA in August?
Exactly. I don't know how he plays at Valhalla, but Valhalla is, to me, one of my favorite golf courses I've ever played in my life. It is absolutely phenomenal. I know since, I think I played it probably 7 or 8 years ago, but I think that they've done some revamping to the course, but it is one of my all-time favorite courses. They have so many great holes at Valhalla, and I'm really interested in, you know, seeing how it plays. And, you know, Duffner is the reigning champion at the PGA, and how did he even play this week?
Who?
Duffner.
He was never in contention. He was around I think he made the cut.
Did he make the cut?
Yeah, I saw him playing yesterday. I saw a couple of highlights early with him.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just didn't see him. You know, and a huge game ball to Tom Watson to come out.
Oh, wow.
Yesterday.
Duffner was plus one.
Okay. I didn't.
And Tom Watson was plus one. They actually had the same score, but Tom Watson shot 68 yesterday.
Yes, Tom Watson played fantastic. And, you know, next year they've given him that exemption to play. I think it's like his 25th, you know, time at the Open, so it'll be amazing. And
but I mean, he's making cuts and he's competitive, and then guys like Lee Westwood,
this is the one tournament that he always plays good in. You know, I don't know what year it was, 3 or 4 years ago,
when he lost the sink.
Yeah, and he gave it a run. I mean, that was one of the most exciting major championships in that I can remember in the last 10 years.
And I'll tell you what, the other one that stands out to me is an older guy who sort of rose back to the occasion was Greg Norman a couple of years ago.
Oh,
same thing.
Absolutely. And
I love seeing those older guys get back in there and get the mix. But they say because of the style and the hard fairways and the fact that he can get a bunch of rollout, he can make it work.
Yeah, it's not about a Dustin Johnson who hits it 800 miles.
Right.
You know, it's not a U.S. Open. It's the Open, which is a little bit different style.
Ricky has his best PGA championship finish, by the way, was last year, tied for 19th. So he's going to have to make up some ground to improve and continue his top five run in majors. Interesting thing about him, his middle name is Utaka. Don't know what that's about. He also is looking more and more like a pirate every year. I don't know what that's about. I hate the way he wears his hats, and I hate the facial hair. But I love the game, and he seems like a very likable dude, and he's got all kinds of upside from a marketing standpoint. If you were going to be an agent of a PGA golfer right now, and his name wasn't Tiger Woods, from an American standpoint, I would think that Ricky would be a hot commodity.
And Utah is probably a Native American name, because he's the only, besides Nota McGay, he's the only Native American blood
did not know that
player.
Did not know that. Well, looky there. I know he's an Oklahoma guy, so that,
yeah.
That
no, he is.
I think understandable connection.
I think he's a quarter. Nota was telling me one time that I think okay. He's like a quarter or a half Native American.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Good for him. Well, Dustin Johnson, you continue to disappoint me. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, hey, you get to go home and lie in the arms of Paulina Gretzky, so that's a nice consolation prize. But again, it's really disappointing. So whatever. It is what it is. It's the way it goes.
Anyway, it was a great major.
It was.
Majors always are.
It was fun.
Know?
I just wish it had been a little closer, and at least they made it interesting.
It was getting closer at the end, which made it interesting. And, you know, it's funny that you say it. My husband was like, I can't believe the golf's not on, and it was like 7 in the morning, and I just got home from the gym, and he's like, why? I can't believe you don't have the golf on. I was like, hold on. The leaders don't tee off till 8 o'clock or 8:30, number one. And number two, there's a 6-stroke lead. So really, if it's going to get interesting, it's going to happen on like 8 or 9. And sure enough, it was right around the, you know, 10th hole, 9th hole when, you know, the 3-stroke leap happens.
Yeah. Well, he did roll in a couple of long ones to keep enough pad in there where it didn't get really interesting. Because if it had gotten even or something, no telling what would happen.
Yeah.
So, and again, I mean, he's all the pressure's on him. And you could say what you want about, you got a big lead. But they have nothing to lose.
Absolutely.
They're gunning for you, and you don't want that same situation you had at the Masters where you blow a big lead.
Yeah, and Dad's got, you know, $300,000 on the line.
How about that deal? What a pittance compared to what he made. It's like a $1.7 million payday. That's a ridiculous amount of money.
Jason Sobel from Golf Weekly and Golf Channel put out this tweet. He's like, who's buying dinner tonight? The guy who won the Open or the guy who won the bet? And it is a, you know, it's a good question. Obviously, you know, Rory won like 3 times that much or...
So I guess the story is his dad had put he and his dad and 3 or 4 of his buddies had put in $170 each for this bet. It was a futures wager on Rory. They got him at 500 to 1, and they made his dad got $171,000. I think it was about $300,000 to $350,000 all told between all of them. So yeah, they all came out pretty good on the deal. It was a bet that they made 10 years ago or 9 years ago, I guess.
10 years ago, when he was 15, they said if he's going to win it before he turns 26 years of age. So if he was 25, but you know, it's funny. Someone was, you know, this was the first time that Rory's mom had ever seen him win a major, and
right.
His mom ran out to the green, and everyone's like, "Where's his dad?" And you know, people were talking about he's at the book right now. He's collecting his wager. But
the other 3 friends that he did that with, they're going to be very happy. He's never reminded me. I knew that he'd done it. I'm not sure if they'll pay out, but you know, if it does, it's a nice little bonus.
Yeah, well, and if they didn't pay on it, I'm sure he would be happy to refund everybody's $170 they kicked in 10 years ago.
No, the book wrote a tweet yesterday and said, yes, Ladbrokers, I think they said, yep, we're definitely paying. It's great for them.
Oh, that's worth the $300,000 worth of promotion
easily.
They're going to get out of it, yeah. Rory also was busy. Not only was he on his way to winning a championship, his 3rd major, but he also was handling crowd control. He got a guy booted out, which I didn't see until this morning. Some loudmouth dude who kept going after him throughout the round, and finally just pointed him out after a tee shot on 16. He said the guy like coughed or something in his downswing. He said he still hit a good drive, but then he pointed the guy out and got him booted.
Yeah.
What kind of idiot does that? I mean, how stupid do you have to be? It was bad enough, and I will be surprised, honestly, if they don't do something with the RNA, because the photography thing was an issue more so than I've seen in any tournament in recent history. And it just, to me, it's an annoyance for the TV viewer, because it's like they come off their shot. It makes the process go longer. and you know, look, I don't think it's that annoying, but, you know, again, when it's dead silent and then you hear something, it'd be different if like everybody was clicking the whole time and you got kind of used to that droning sound in the back of your head. It is an annoyance. You don't see it at other tournaments. And they've done it before where they banned them, and I guess they're going to have to do that again. But how do you not know to put your phone on silent? How stupid do you have to be to, if you're taking an iPhone picture, to not have it where it's on silent? I don't get that.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I do 50-something golf tournaments a year, and I guarantee you I hear 2 times a day I hear a cell phone ring. Or, you know, you hear the alarm go off or whatever it is. It's just... it happens. You're going to have that many people show up to a golf tournament. And let's be honest, a lot of those people have no idea the etiquette of golf. So that's just, it is the way it is. It's, I mean,
but how do you not
happen.
Have your phone? How do you not know that you can't? I mean, you wouldn't take a picture in or have your ringer on in church. I mean, surely you would know that at a golf tournament.
Oh, no, a lot of people don't know, Justin. Like, a lot of people don't even understand. Like,
doesn't even occur to you to put it on vibrate? I mean, how stupid do you have to be?
I get that, but like, I have had to explain. Obviously, I've grown up around golf. I was in diapers on a golf course. I mean, I've been around it my whole entire life, but I've had to explain to people like what a tee box is, like how you know like where the next hole is. Like, I mean, a lot of people know nothing about the sport, and I totally have been oblivious to that. But
don't most people who go to professional golf tournaments have some clue about it?
No, not all of them.
Okay,
no.
Not maybe not every single person, but don't you think like 90%, 95%?
Or hopefully at least the people they're with there say, hey, idiot, turn off your...
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You got to self-police that as a fan base.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was crazy. But I guarantee you they'll do something because two of the guys that got annoyed by it the most were Rory and Tiger.
Tiger got pulled off like 3 times. I saw him. Someone finally said something and they're like, if that was Stevie, he'd already have the guy in a headlock or something like that.
Oh, guaranteed. Guaranteed. But yeah, he dropped a JC. He was PO'd, so it is what it is. Speaking of Tiger, here he is. Afterwards, not a very good performance from him. I think it was his second worst finish maybe in a major.
I think it was his worst finish in a major that he didn't pull out of, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
I think it was the worst one that he had finished.
There were 3 guys who made the cut who finished worse than him. Martin Keimer is one of them, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's strange. And then a couple of guys that are not exactly household names. So, yeah, Tiger shoots 6 over, which isn't horrible. Hey, he made himself,
coming back,
21 grand.
Yeah. Coming back, and that would...
Also known as, like, bottle service on a night out.
I was about to say, like, that won't even, like, put a drop of gas in his, like, G10 or whatever he has. But, yeah, no, I was about to say that... But, yeah, go ahead, play the clip.
Well, I'm finally feel like I'm really healthy, and I've got my pop back in my swing. So I'm hitting the ball the distances that I know I can. Unfortunately, you know, I get out here with a little bit of adrenaline, it goes a little bit further, too. So it's a combination of having my strength and my speed back at the same time. Playing tournament golf, so you know, it's not that far off.
Is his chipping and putting as good as it has to be, and is it as good as he was when he was winning for him to get back there? I don't have any doubt that his full swing will be good. I don't have any doubt that he'll hit it a long ways like he always has. My question is, can he do the other things that he was so dominant at?
I think that stuff took him wanting to do it, and I don't know if he's at the point at the moment where he wants it as much as he used to want it, and as much effort that is he put into it, and as much time and passion that he put into it. And also, when you get a little bit of doubt creeping in your head, I've said from the beginning, I've said for however many years, since it's been like 2008, since he won his last major or whatever it is, when and if he wins his next one, he will break the record. It's just a matter of him getting that next one. And I think the next one is just, it's that tipping point. It's that peak of the mountain. And I think everything after that will be, it'll all come to pass.
Here's an interesting stat, too, is he's not that far off in the way he's hitting the ball. He hit 48 greens out of 72. Okay? Rory hit 49. He hit one more green. Here's the big thing, though. Driving distance-wise, and the thing, I was talking to some friends of mine yesterday, we were playing, and the marvelous thing about Rory is he hits it 10 miles, but he's never out of balance. You never see him, like, hack at a ball. Like, you saw Tiger for years and years, even when he was playing well, swinging out of his shoes. Rory never looks out of balance. He never looks like he's swinging hard, but he's always creating an incredible amount of head speed with the club. 328 is his average drive. Adam Scott was 315. Tiger was at 292. And then, like, Sergio was 294. Sergio's a fairly long player, too. But, again, to hit it that far, and he also hit 37 fairways out of 56. So, I mean, he's hitting it down the middle enough, and he's hitting it a mile. I mean, the guy is just, he's doing so many things well.
Oh, and yeah, he's you know, after, it just proves he's 25 years old. He's got 3 majors. You know, like, that is right there is in itself incredible.
You're still convinced he's going to get another or two.
Who?
Tiger.
Oh, yeah, I was talking about Rory, but yeah.
No, I know, but I'm
mean,
just saying.
Am I convinced that Tiger will get another one? Yeah, I really do. I mean, unless something else happens. If he's healthy, I really do think. I mean, he literally only cares about 4 golf tournaments a year. Like, that's the only thing on his mind. I don't care what anyone says. Every other tournament, I don't care what it is, he does not give a crap.
But doesn't he have to win some of those?
No, he doesn't care.
I know he doesn't care, but doesn't he have to sort of be there and be tested and be in the mix some?
Mm, yes and no. It's like a practice round. It's like a practice round. It doesn't matter. He doesn't care about the money. He doesn't care about the win. He doesn't care about the notoriety. He doesn't care. He cares only about four tournaments a year, and those are the only thing that matters. And you cannot put that pressure and that situation on any other golf tournament. It's like, you know, Q school for someone like us, or it's like, you know, you cannot be
like us. I like how you included me in there. Thank you.
Well, there you go.
Like you mean. Like me. Coming up, we are going to talk more golf, but we will also talk about college football. Phil Steele, who I think writes the best preview magazine on the planet, is going to join us at 11:30. Unfortunately, I've not gotten my copy yet, so I can't exactly flip through there and ask him specific questions, but I do have some general questions, which he always covers in the preview magazine. If you don't get a Phil Steele, I think you're missing out. I always get the Hootens locally. I always get that for the national magazine. I think he does an amazing job. And there's all kinds of tidbits in there that I use throughout the season as a Razorback fan, as a UCA guy, as a an Iowa State graduate. I mean, there's so many interesting statistics in there. Just little sidebar stuff. I mean, it's not just the betting lines and how teams have done against the spread. I mean, there's so much information in there. It's just incredible, the stuff they've been able to compile year in and year out. It's remarkable. So we'll talk about Arkansas, the SEC, national picture, all that. If you want to get in on any questions, please send them to us at thezone@1037thebuzz.com. You can send us Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback through our listen.